Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we are going to talk about different types of anxiety disorders.
Boy, talk about another confusing mess.
Yeah,
oh, man.
But this one should be a little bit more straightforward because the DSM does a relatively nice job of kind of detailing each one for us.
This is, what did you say, relatively easy?
Yeah.
Because we're going to make it easy.
We're
going to make this easy for you because there is a definite starting point.
Right.
Okay. And then there are permutations on that starting point. And you just have to be aware of those permutations.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You mentioned DSM.
Okay. Right.
And that's what makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll talk about the permutations.
Right. So the first thing we should mention, of course, is that across all of the anxiety disorders, the symptoms are pretty much the same.
Right.
You know, you're going to experience those same traditional mm-hmm. classic symptoms of anxiety, of increased heart rate, increased, you know, perspiration, you know, nervousness, shakiness, mm-hmm. difficulty concentrating, you know, all of those kinds of things. No matter what your anxiety disorder might be, those are going to be the same symptoms that you're going to experience. Now, the only thing that differentiates the anxiety disorders from one another is what triggers those symptoms, what causes those symptoms. And so that seems like the best place to kind of
what start. Causes them?
Well, what triggers those anxiety symptoms. So if you become very anxious and start to experience those symptoms anytime as a child, anytime your parents leave you somewhere, then we'll call that a separation anxiety disorder. If you experience them whenever you see a snake, we'll call that a specific phobia. But the symptoms, the core symptoms, are pretty consistent throughout all of them.
So what you're saying is that we divide the anxiety disorders according to what produces the anxiety.
Correct.
Not just the feeling.
Correct.
Because the feeling is the same.
Correct.
If you're just based on the feeling, you would say, I'm anxious.
Correct.
But the way the American Psychiatric Association wants us to talk about this is in terms of what is the triggering event
right.
that leads to the feelings.
Yes.
Because the feelings are all the same. If
right.
we just base it on feelings, someone would say, I'm anxious.
Right.
Well, then you can't treat it because you don't know what's causing it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
So that's where to start. And it's because of that, because all of the symptoms, the physiological, the diagnostic symptoms are the same across all of the different anxiety disorders. This is one of the reasons why we see people change diagnoses sometimes over time. So a person may start with, and I've had patients who start with, you know, something like agoraphobia, where they're really anxious about leaving safe space or mm-hmm. leaving areas and being somewhere where they can't get to safety if they need
right.
to, or get help if they need it. And that can, and as you successfully treat that, the anxiety shifts to something more along the lines of obsessive compulsive disorder, or mm-hmm. along the lines of a specific phobia or a separation anxiety. And so the triggering event mm-hmm. That elicits those anxious symptoms can change over time and thereby change the diagnosis.
But if I'm anxious, so if I see a snake, mm-hmm. I'm walking along and I hear a rattlesnake in the woods, mm-hmm. That produces a physiologic response
right.
in me that I call anxiety, fear.
Right.
Well, that's fear.
Stress.
Mm-hmm. No, that's different.
Yeah. If you won't go into the woods because you're afraid that you could possibly encounter a snake, that you have no idea if it's there.
Sorry, I'm not in the woods. I'm afraid to go into the woods.
Right. That's an anxiety.
Because I have a phobia or a fear.
Right.
I won't touch doorknobs because
right.
I have a germ phobia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but that produces the same kind of feelings mm-hmm. in me that as a young child I experienced when my parents left me
right.
with a babysitter.
Right.
Okay. Same feelings,
mm-hmm.
different triggering event.
Correct.
Okay. And it could change over time.
Right.
Okay. That's what you're saying. Because you might have separation anxiety as a child and develop a phobia for something else as a preteen.
Right. Okay. Right. So the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 5th edition, separates anxiety disorders into multiple subtypes. The ones that, well, we've already mentioned a few, agoraphobia, we've mentioned that one already. You have generalized anxiety disorder, which is sort of a broad, it's a, and I love it because the definition is anxiety caused by general things.
Yeah, you might have more than one.
Yeah. Words,
you might have a phobia for this and a fear of that. You might have separation anxiety and so you have several of the anxieties.
Right. And it's, you know, what you'll see, people will describe things like, well, you know, I can't drive in the left lane, and I have a really difficult time if I have to do this, and then this is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And you find that anxiety is just present in a lot of different areas, and there's not necessarily a common theme that makes it a specific phobia or a specific...
Right, and I know people like that who have, you know, multiple... things, and so you just say, well, it's a general, it's more generalized, it goes to other things. Okay,
right.
So you start with generalized anxiety disorder,
right? And then you can get down to some specific phobias.
Right.
And if you just Google, you know, specific phobias, you'll get lists pages long of different types of specific phobias.
Right.
And you know, to be honest, agoraphobia, we sort of set it aside for some reason. But it's just another specific phobia. But if you are interested in what agoraphobia looks like, there's a great movie called Copycat with Sigourney Weaver. And it's a bit of a thriller. But, you know, so I think it's rated R, so be cautious of that. But it's a great depiction of agoraphobia. She's a psychiatrist who develops agoraphobia after being encountered by a serial killer or something, but you can see the fear, and she's just completely unable to leave her apartment, and that's what agoraphobia is. So you have generalized anxiety disorder, you have specific phobias, you have another really common one is social phobia, social anxiety disorder, and that's something we see pretty, maybe a little bit more often in teenagers and young adults, but you see it in adults
as
well.
You can see it across the lifespan.
But it's you know, this is, and it's not. You have to be careful with social anxiety disorder because it's not, you know, I don't like getting in front of the class and doing a talk. I don't, you know, it's more than that. This is a person who experienced tremendous anxiety if they're in the lunch line. You know, because what if I say something wrong, or what if, you know, somebody, what if people are looking at me? This is a person who, you know, can't stand in line at the bathroom, or, you know, just won't get up out of, you know, if we're talking, so I'm, all of my examples are from school. If a person won't get up from their desk to go up to the teacher, because if they're walking across the room when nobody else is walking across the room, then people are going to look at them. And so anytime there's the risk for the perceived risk of embarrassment or being singled out is there. That could be a social anxiety.
And in this day and age with devices, people who have social anxiety no longer have to leave the comfort of their home or agoraphobia. And they still feel connected.
Right.
They have the illusion
of
being social because they're on social media.
Yeah.
That's not social... That's really not being connected socially.
Right.
Being
right.
connected through social media is not really being connected.
Right.
It's a way of avoiding.
Yeah.
And so if you find yourself spending most of your time on social media rather than real people, think about maybe that you have a social anxiety disorder and you should be dealing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other areas, in the DSM-5, sort of has these branched off into different categories, but you have post-traumatic stress disorder, which really... It's not really part of the anxiety disorder.
It used to be.
Separate. Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Same with obsessive-compulsive disorder.
That's right. We talked about this the other day, that one of the things you run into when you look up, when you Google or you look up anxiety disorders, is that frequently both obsessive compulsive disorder and
PTSD
are listed in, under the anxiety disorders, mm-hmm. because in previous editions
right.
of the manual, they were listed.
Right.
And some people, in fact, one of the articles we're posting
right.
has them listed there. They're not any longer in
right.
the manual.
Right.
Under anxiety disorders. Right. They're listed elsewhere. And this happens because the manual is an organic
mm-hmm.
Document, and yeah. it changes each time it's revised.
Yeah.
So those two aren't technically part of the anxiety disorders, but
right.
closely related.
Yeah, and I think that it's close enough because, again, the symptoms pretty similar.
The same. Right.
Yeah.
But if you have
the diagnostic criteria is different.
Right, but if you have PTSD, the triggering event might be a little harder to
right.
pin down.
Right.
And if you have obsessive compulsive disorder, you don't really have a triggering event. You're avoiding all sorts of things.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, but you can imagine the discussions that mm-hmm. psychiatrists have as they're talking about yeah. these things and should we include it or not.
Right.
And the consensus was, let's not include these two things because they don't fit as neatly into the
anxiety
category.
Disorders. So they right. put them off into separate. And so I think we're gonna talk more about OCD
yeah.
next
another topic.
Week.
Right. And PTSD, I think, is another topic
yeah.
that we should probably address separately.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So now those are.
So what are they? They're in DSM.
Right.
They're agoraphobia. Well, we're going to get to them in another.
Yeah, there's the generalized anxiety disorder, the specific phobias, social anxiety disorder, separation anxiety. We've talked about that a little bit already.
Right.
And then you have sort of these.
Yes, not other
catch-alls.
Right.
That's you know, anxiety caused by a general medical condition or anxiety substance-induced anxiety disorder.
So the manual does allow you to get into the medical disorders.
Right.
So they're saying, okay, you can have anxiety due to a medical condition.
Right.
Okay. So it does allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the articles that we're posting, and maybe this is the second thing that you were talking about. I can't remember what word you used.
I can't either.
That. It divides them in an interesting way, and it's more acute
that's right.
anxiety-related issues and the more long-term anxiety-related issues.
And this is another one of the questions that people typically have.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I am experiencing an anxiety disorder?
Right.
And I think this division
right.
Helps to differentiate what we would consider anxiety disorders from acute.
Right.
So there's long-term and acute.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, just about everything that we've talked about so far would be considered long-term. Because
right.
these are things that, they're something that are persistent over time that warrant treatment of a variety of sorts.
My daughter has frog phobia.
We've mentioned
and she's had it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going anywhere. She won't let me
exposure
do
therapy.
Anything about it. She won't. She will have none of it. No therapy for this. I am going
Sweet.
To maintain my fear of frogs. And so she's had it for 20 years.
Steve.
And without treatment, she's going to have it for another 20.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to watch her enter our house.
Sweet, yeah. But the acute stress anxiety disorders are a little bit different. And those are anxiety and stress-inducing circumstances that are, by definition, short-term.
Short.
Yeah. That includes acute stress disorder, which in some ways is a precursor to PTSD
right.
if it's almost identical to PTSD, except mm-hmm. that it's only occurs like immediately after that mm-hmm. trauma and then is short-lived. It doesn't mm-hmm. last for more than, you know, a few months at the most.
Right.
And then there's adjustment disorder with anxious right. features, and that's a, you know, that's a diagnosis actually that I give a lot because an adjustment disorder with anxious features basically means that there's something in the person's life
right.
that's causing this anxiety, but outside of the presence of that something,
right.
There are no anxiety disorders.
I'm smiling because this is graduation time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yeah.
you have high school seniors graduating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy. A couple months from now,
mm-hmm.
they go off to
right.
a college, a huge university somewhere.
Right.
you could have an adjustment disorder.
Right.
Or people graduate from college,
mm-hmm.
and now they're in the job market, new city, mm-hmm. and now you don't have thousands of other people around like right. you did when you were in college. You feel very, very alone.
Right.
And those people will have, frequently will have right. adjustment disorders.
Right.
Not a serious problem.
Right.
Eventually, most of us adjust, but you might not. And if right. you find that you're not adjusting, then you need to seek a little help so right. that it doesn't become a long-term problem.
Right, yeah. And the final one is substance abuse, anxiety disorder.
Abuse.
And there are substances that you can take that will induce anxiety.
The substance itself.
The substance
produces
itself.
Anxiety.
Yeah, there's a substance, I don't remember the actual name of it, but it's people just refer to it as CCK.
Right.
It's a cytokine, I believe. But you can yeah. you can inject a person with CCK mm-hmm. and induce a panic attack.
Right.
And so there are substances that just by the very nature of taking that substance or consuming that substance causes anxiety.
Right.
Interestingly enough, I know of a number of people who have some of those tendencies towards anxiety, and they didn't recognize it, but as we kind of worked through mm-hmm. it, the anxiety was exacerbated or significantly increased
right.
when they used tobacco.
Right.
Because tobacco is a bit of a stimulant. Caffeine, I almost said cocaine. Cocaine
is
one. But caffeine,
I would put it under
nicotine, you know, sugar, sometimes anything that's a stimulant could potentially increase someone's anxiety.
It's producing those symptoms.
Right.
Right. We talked all morning yeah. about the symptoms are the same. Okay.
Right.
It depends what you label it. We see many, I've seen several teenagers who, when they first start dabbling,
mm-hmm.
first start experimenting with illegal substances, become highly anxious
right.
because they're afraid of getting caught,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to be arrested, their parents will find out. And so it's not that the drug itself
right.
produces it, but the circumstances
right.
of doing the drug and the underlying fear
right.
that, oh my God, if my parents find out,
right.
I'm going to get killed, or if I get arrested,
right.
and the fear
right.
that you have bleeds over into anxiety.
Right.
You know, so it's not the substance, it's the circumstances.
Right. And again, we refer to them as acute because they
stop
once you
yeah.
stop doing those things you shouldn't be doing,
right.
then the anxiety
yeah.
goes away.
Best way to avoid that is stop doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then you don't have a problem.
Exactly. So, all right, that's it for today.
That's it.
Before we go, we've been working to remind everyone every day this week about the Coming Out of the Darkness, a Concert of Hope. It's a event that will be at Theater Winter Haven on the 24th
mm-hmm.
of this month, May 24th at 7:30 p.m. Go to Theater Winter Haven, theatre, winterhaven.com, and contact them, and you can get more information about tickets and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But all of the proceeds will go to a local community mental health agency as well as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Good way to kick off the Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely.
Right? Thursday night.
Absolutely.
Weekends begin on Thursdays.
That's right.
Some people's weekends begin on Thursdays.
That's
colleges
right.
do that. You know, my daughter told me that weekends begin on Thursday night.
If
you don't have classes on Friday.
I guess so.
You know, you can use Friday to study and get ready. We don't take Thursdays. Our weekend begins on Sunday night.
I was going to say our week begins on Thursday.
It lasts for
yeah.
about 4 hours.
That's right. Sleep time.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.